Ladies and gentlemen, let's get ready to rumble!
Welcome to Fight Predictions on the Combat and Pro Wrestling Podcast. And welcome to another episode of Fight Predictions. So this one is for UFC 268. As always, joined by my companion in... I saw that wrong. That's not what I tried to say. My comrade in the art of predicting fights, Mus Christian.
How's it going with it?
Yeah, so off the back of 267.
Yeah.
Good card, very Russian.
Yeah, fantastic card. Some of the
hype
trains have kept on chewing, haven't they?
Yeah, probably should have worked this out before we started this episode, but whereabouts are we in predictions at the minute? Do you know?
Oh, I don't have a clue.
We shall work it out, but I know I was ahead. Was I ahead 6 points?
Yeah.
About six ahead.
I don't think I won.
It was very, very close. Very close to 6-7. Let's just have a quick check. Let's have a quick look through. Obviously, we both got Blachowicz wrong. You got Jan, didn't you?
Yeah.
So you got that one. We both got Makhachev. I got 7 on that one. We both got Volkov. Both got Chimaev. Both got Ankalaev. You got Murphy over me with the Amir Carney. So looking at that, I think you may have scored 4 points higher than me on this one.
Yeah.
So you're about 2 points behind me, really. Pretty close. But we'll work it out. But not that it's that important. It's just a bit of fun. But really, it's about the fights. It's about the cards. It's just about the results, really. It was a banger. Obviously, we've got a new light heavyweight champion, Glover Teixeira, at 42 years old. It's a bit bittersweet because it's great that he's the champion. But fuck me, is he got a task ahead of him next. Yuri, I've been practicing saying this name as well. Prokratchka?
Prochowska.
Very close. Very close. I'm getting there.
I might have been saying it wrong the whole time, though. Who knows?
Prochowska.
Prochowska. Yuri Prochowska.
He's definitely my Achilles heel.
Yeah.
But yeah, what a card. Obviously, pulled it off. The return of Hazmat. I've been practicing that as well. Took the K out.
Hamzat? Hazmat's one of them suits you wear.
At least I ain't got the cane anymore.
Yeah.
So, great card. Anything you want to touch on?
Yeah, I just think, like I said, just touched on like anyone that was saying, expecting the hype train to end, it's for both of them. More so Hamzat, people are like, oh, he's not dealt with a top 15 guy. He needs to get a top 5 or 6 guy next, don't he? And then we'll see. But I think they're talking about Magny, maybe. Neil Magny would be a good fight.
I think that's a great opportunity.
I think some people are throwing about giving him Gilbert Burns. I think maybe it's too soon to give him Gilbert Burns.
What about Wonderboy?
I don't think Wonderboy matches up well against him.
No, I don't.
Yeah, I think
Wonderboy. Wonderboy needs to prove himself now. If he wants, he needs. I don't know why I just tripped over that. But he even needs a big name, or he needs a big win.
Yeah.
And obviously, coming off the loss of Gilbert Burns, he's got to be approaching 40 years old now. It's got to be do or die for Wonderboy. And if I was him, I'd take the Kazmat fight. And if he wins that, and then hopefully get a big fight after that, then maybe back in that title picture.
I can't see.
But otherwise, if he's just doing it for money, fair enough. But if he wants to be a champion,
I legit think Chimaev would smash Leon Edwards, and I was like a firm believer that he wouldn't before. But I'm proper fully aboard the hype train right now. I don't think he beats the top two guys. I don't think he beats Usman or Colby right now.
I mean, Jing Lang beat Ponzinibbio, who we were.
Yeah,
we're big on. And then he just mauled him. Like, what is he ranked 8th in the world or 9th in the world, Jing Lang?
Yeah.
You're talking the 9th best fighter at that weight class in the world, beat him up like he was, someone off the street.
I love what he did. If you notice how he shot in, so he ducked under the big swinging right hand, and he shoots the power side, which is weird. So he shoots to the power side and takes his legs all the way round. I'm doing hand movements now, by the way, guys. You can't see what I'm doing. But he shoots all the way round, and then when Jing Lang turns in and tries to face bar him, he then uses that to take the bat.
Yeah.
But, like, it's risky shooting to that side all the time because if someone just throws a flying knee, Masvidal style.
He looks so big in there as well.
Yeah, big. He's a big boy, isn't he?
Yeah, obviously fights at middleweight sometimes.
Yeah.
I think if they're going to take it seriously, I think he shouldn't be thinking about middleweight for a while. He should stick to welterweight.
And he has said that to his team. I think they've said for right now, they're focused on the welterweight goal. And then you can't bounce between weight classes until you're already champion of one, really.
You shouldn't,
yeah.
Obviously, while you was at work, working at the gym we both work at, I was messaging you about a certain fight, Dos Santos versus St. Denis. I don't know if you've had a chance to watch it yet.
Yeah, I've seen some clips. Ludicrous, wasn't it?
Insane. Like, he was wobbling all over the place, just getting blasted. Nothing, wasn't covering up, wasn't answering back. Basically, Dos Santos got tired beating him up, fatigued from beating this guy up. And obviously, a French Marine. And the ref was just, the commentators were calling out, stop the fight, which is funny, really, because it's exactly what Dan Hardy did and he got a lot of flack for.
Yeah.
And gets made fun of. And then they started doing that and it's almost like they paused and addressed that. They were like, I know we're shouting out, stop the fight, but really, we didn't feel that way. And it's like, yeah, Dan Hardy was exactly the same.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, it was tough to watch. He made it all the way to the end, but whether he's ever the same again as before that fight, you don't want to see anyone take that sort of damage. For what, though, as well? He was never going to win a decision.
That's the thing. At that stage, like, why was his corner not looking to throw the towel in?
No. And DC was calling for it to be stopped between 2 and 3.
Yeah.
He was basically begging for it to be stopped.
Yeah.
And obviously, the referee got escorted out of the building after that and finished. Well, he was supposed to referee some fights later down the card on the main event, or on the main card, sorry. And he got removed and escorted out.
Quite rightly so, though. It's not a game, is it? You don't play fighting. If a referee gets a bad call in a football match, the team might lose the game.
Yeah.
If a referee gets the wrong call like that in a fight, that could take years off that man's life.
It was tough because he was getting beat up. Then he got eye poked. Then Dos Santos got him against the cage. So they were against the cage. So he's got his head over his shoulder and they were kneeing each other. And he sort of glanced his cup, caught him a little bit. Clearly couldn't see it because there was ear to ear pretty much. Mm. Separated him, took a point. No warning.
Yeah.
It was bizarre. The bizarrest fight. DC was going nuts. But not to go on about that too much, because it was a bit depressing, to be honest. This card, 268, got to be a contender for top 3 card of the year.
Yeah.
The McGregor card in January was amazing. Obviously, we've got 269 on the horizon.
And that looks insane.
Yeah.
269. They've absolutely smashed out the park with 267, 268, and 269. Are 3 of the best cards that I've ever seen. Like, 269 as well, like even down to the prelims. Is that the one with Dominic Cruz on?
On the prelims, yeah.
Yeah, Dominic Cruz, the bantamweight goat on the prelims.
Not even main event of the prelims.
Yeah.
It's an amazing card, but this one's a contender for that, really.
Yeah, definitely.
This Usman versus Covington fight, I wasn't really bothered about the rematch until now. And now we're at the fight week, I'm like, oh yeah, I really want to see it now.
I'm looking at it from a different angle as before. Before, I really wanted to see the fight because I was like, wow, these are the two most evenly matched guys in the division.
Yeah.
And now I'm looking at it like, and everyone's counting Covington out in this one.
He's been quiet.
Yeah. And everyone's like, and even the bookies, we'll touch on a bit when we analyse the fight, I'm sure, analyse the prediction, I'm sure, but the bookies have Usman as like a 1-3 odds on favourite.
Yeah.
And I'm like, did you not see the first fight?
Yeah.
Covington was arguably winning until he lost.
And Covington's got to know it's do or die.
Yeah.
I think he's going to shoot a takedown, and I can't wait to see what happens.
Yeah. I'd love to see them wrestle, man.
I think it's happening. I think it's going to happen. I don't think it's going to be a kickboxing match again. I think Covington knows he needs to get this grappling going. Whether it works or not is what's intriguing.
Yeah.
He's going to shoot. I just can't wait to see what happens.
Yeah.
If he gets it or he gets stuffed, and then what? But it is do or die. So, 7 fights as always when we predict a big card, a big pay-per-view. We're going to start with Edmund Shahbazyan, ranked number 11, 11-2, against Nazarin Imavov.
Oh, Imavov.
Unranked, 10-3. It's not been changed, has it?
No, that's definitely the fight, yeah.
Yeah, the way you said it then, I was like, what's happened? Has it been changed? Because we've had a few. Shabazian's the favourite at plus 115. Imavov's the favourite at a minus 135. Shabazian's the underdog at plus 115. It's a bit crazy to me, that, because Shabazian's fought some absolute beasts. He's on a 2-fight losing streak, but that's to Jack Manson and Derek Brunson.
Yeah.
Which are top contenders. Imavov hasn't really fought anybody of that level, but he has had some tough fights. He's currently 4-1 in his last 5, recently being Ian Heinich, who's a beast.
Ian Hines, yeah.
We actually predicted that fight?
Yeah, we did. That's where I knew the name from. Back That's when I dovetailed into the Ian Hines drug smuggle story.
Turns out he was like a side character in Vice City.
Yeah.
Smuggling drugs in his
youth. He was doing quests with Tommy Lucchetti.
Really, that's all I've got on this fight. Mavov, I think I went with him last time. Shabazzian's a beast, though, and it'd be crazy to see him on a 3-fight losing streak, but it's possible. I'm going to go with a Mavov. I'm going to go 4 prediction points on a Mavov. Before we move on, this card's so hard to predict, so some of these big points I've got, it's because I have to put them somewhere.
Yeah.
I'm not 4 prediction points confident on a Mavov.
Yeah.
And you'll see further down the card, I've had to put certain points in places where I don't want to put it. If I could just put 1 on everything,
yeah,
I probably would, but then I'd definitely lose. But who have you got then?
I'm going to go for Shabazzian. I just think he's fought slightly better opposition. Like you say, it would be mad to see him going a 3-fight, and I just think he's going to really know the chips are down. I'm not super confident because Mavov's a beast. I'm edging towards Shabazzian. I'm just going to put my 1 point on it. Just because also I thought I'm going to have to make some brave picks in this card to try and catch up with yourself.
I don't know if you've kept up on it, but is he still coached by Tavarian?
Edmund Tavarian.
Yeah. The head movement guy, Rouse's old coach. Because I know he was. I don't know if that's still his coach.
Head movement.
Yeah, he's going to need more than that. So next fight, we've got Alia Quinta, unranked, 14-6-1. Against Bobby Green, also unranked, 27-12-1.
Bobby Green's a beast. So is Alia Quinta, though, to be fair.
So Bobby Green, a favourite at -155, and Alia Quinta, an underdog at 135. I thought Alia Quinta would have been the favourite, but...
Alia Quinta's got a... Well, come on, man, he took the fucking goat to... goat at lightweight to a 5-round decision.
Yep, I know. Green's currently on a 2-fight losing streak. His last 10 fights went to decision, winning 4. So I think it's 1-4, lost 5, drew 1.
Yeah.
Something like that. So again, Bobby Green's a scrappy guy, but he goes the decision pretty much every time. I think he got finished in one of them, actually. So I think he's like 4-4-1 and got finished in one of them. Aya Quinn is also on a 2-fight losing streak. His last 4 went to decision, winning 1 of them. So he's currently 1-3. Obviously, 1's Khabib. It's a tough one, this, so they're both desperate for a win. Whoever loses, again, 3-fight losing streak. Bit of a theme on this card. I'm going to go Aya Quinta, but I'm not confident, 1 prediction point. I really don't know where this is going to go.
This card's going to swing one way or the other, man, because I'm going for Bobby Green, 6 points, baby.
Jesus.
I'm going to make some bold decisions, because it's all up in the air. Even the ones that are like, even the bookies don't seem to have a fucking clue. Because some of the ones with the bookies are like nailed on favourites. I'm like, I don't agree with that. I just think Bobby Green's a scrappy guy. I think he's been a lot more active than Aya Quinta, hasn't he?
Yep, true.
When was Aya Quinta's last fight? Was it Khabib? No, it wasn't. No. Kevin Lee. Kevin Lee too.
It might have been, yeah.
Yeah. I just think Bobby Green's got enough to get it done, man. But Aya Quinta's a monster, so.
I was just looking at it and I was like, right, it's going to decision. Off those stats. Who wins the decision? I know Aya Quinta is obviously not all in on it anymore. He's like a real estate agent. Yeah. And
that's what I mean. You can't be a half stepper in this game. You can't be 1 foot in, 1 foot out.
He's only lost 6. Bobby Green's won 12. That's ultimately where I fell. But that doesn't really mean anything. Next fight, we've got the former UFC lightweight champion, Frankie Edgar, ranked number 8 at bantamweight now. So he's gone lightweight, featherweight, bantamweight. Maybe a little bit too late in his career, but we'll see. At 23-9-1 against Marlon Chito Vera, ranked number 13, 17-7-1. So the bookies have Vera a favourite at -170, Edgar underdog +150. Edgar's currently 2-3 in his last 5, including a split win over Munoz, which a lot of people weren't sure where it went. A lot of people edged with Munoz. So it potentially could be 1-4 in his last 5.
Yeah.
Vera's currently 3-2 in his last 5, both guys with a unanimous decision loss to Aldo in the career. Not that really makes a difference, different weight classes, maybe a better Aldo when Edgar fought him both times. Again, I've put a lot of points on this, but I'm not this confident on it. I feel like Frankie's days come and gone, even though I'm a big fan. I'd love to see like a Frankie Edgar versus Dominic Cruz while they're in this weight class.
Hell yes.
I'm going to go Chito Vera, 5 prediction points.
This card's going to swing massively one way or the other because, listen, when the chips are down, you can never count Frankie out. He is the real life Rocky. I think he's going to come good. Have one last run at it. I think his wrestling's miles better than. See, if the Frank Edgar fights the right fight, I think he beats. Vera. It's whether he fights the right fight. He don't get. I don't want him to get drawn into a fight. We've been wanting to box him up, take him down, control him.
Yeah,
I think Frank Edgar's wrestling is so good, but like in the last few years, he's maybe not utilized his wrestling as much as he should have.
Against Sanderhagen, obviously got knocked out with a flying knee early on. I just don't feel like a young Frank Edgar would have got knocked out with that knee.
No.
I could be wrong, but...
Well, no, you got to remember, Frank Edgar was fighting monsters and winning the title 2 weights above.
He was getting blasted by Maynard.
Yeah, who's a huge man.
And survived.
I mean, Maynard's fought a welterweight, and he's getting knocked out by a bantamweight. It's crazy, isn't it, to think. But I'm going to give Frank Edgar 3 points, man. I think he's got the wrestling to get the job done.
Yeah, possibly. I'm not 5 prediction points confident, but it's just where to put the points at the minute. Next fight, we've got Shane Burgos, ranked number 14, 13-3, against Billy Quarantillo.
Quarantillo. I think it's T-O, isn't it? Quarantillo. Is that Quarantillo?
Double L, yeah. At 16-3. Shane Burgos is a favourite at minus 200. Quite a big favourite. Quarantillo is an underdog at plus 175. So Burgos is currently on a 2-fight losing streak to Edson Barboza and Joss Emmett, which, again, top guys in the division. Quarantillo is currently 4-1 in his last 5. Quarantillo was part of the Dana White Contender Series Season 3 back in July 2019. And this will be his 6th fight in the UFC since then. So he's got a bit of experience now. Again, 4-1 in his last 5. Even though he's on a 2-fight losing streak, I think Burgos is a tough fight. He's a banger. He's got a lot of power. I'm going to side with Burgos on this one, even though momentum's going the other way. I'm going to go 2 prediction points on Shane Burgos. Who have you got?
I'm in agreement. I love Shane Burgos. I love his style. He's a fucking... He brings firepower to every fight. Got brutal striking. And he's game as they come. I think Burgos works for him, mate. I think the bookie should have him as a higher favourite. I'm going to go Burgos 7 points.
7 on Burgos?
Woo! 7 Jesus. Points on Burgos.
I want Quarantillo to win now.
Yeah.
But how come 7? What you
just
what
looking you at? Look at. I think Burgos is like slept on. He's fought monsters.
I agree.
I just think he's an absolute. I really do think he's a real prospect. Like, I think he just smashed into bits. You know, when you just play it in your head, and you think it was one of the ones I thought. Even like some of the other guys are higher favourites. Bigger favourite, sorry. When I was picturing that fight, I was like, he has to win that, surely. He'll probably get sparks in the first round.
You sort of hope so, because you want to see him do well, but you don't want to see him on a 3-fight losing streak. Again, that seems to be a bit of a theme on this card.
Yeah.
It's like the matchmakers knew it. Anyway, next fight. So this is a fucking nuts fight, this one. We've got Justin Gaethje, ranked number 2, 22-3, against Michael Chandler, ranked number 4, 22-6. So both with 22 wins in their career. Ranked number 2 and 4. The bookies have got Gaethje as a favourite at minus 180.
Yeah, yeah. And Chandler, I've seen him a bigger favourite in some places.
Chandler is a plus 155. Chandler's currently 1-1 in his UFC career. 3-2 in his last 5.
And how close was he to finishing Oliveira, though?
In that first round,
he was seconds away from being the world champion.
Yeah.
He should have been stopped, really.
There's definitely massive a bit of Chandler bias fan, but before the Khabib fight, October 2020, Gaethje was on a 4-fight win streak, all by KO. Gaethje hasn't gone the distance since November 2014.
Yeah.
And he's only gone the distance twice in 25 fights.
Yeah, he's an animal, man. He goes out there and he's either going to knock you out or you're going to knock him out.
Yeah, I think he's won one decision. And I think he lost one decision. Or he's lost 2 decisions, I think.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. But 25 fights, only going to the distance twice, is insane. He's a finisher.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm finishing you, or you're going to have to finish me style fighter.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think there's anyone with that sort of stats in the entire UFC.
He's the most, they call him the most violent man in the UFC for a reason, don't they?
He just goes after people.
Yeah.
For me, I think this is going to be a war. And I think Gaethje's cardio, I think it'll win him this fight. I think Chandler will fade in the second or third and Gaethje will finish him. I'm going to go Justin Gaethje 6 prediction points. Who have you got? Bear in mind, you're Chandler's biggest fan. So
I would be the biggest traitor in the world. I would be like Benedict Arnold or fucking, I don't know, who's a big traitor?
Come on, let's
shoot me some names. Jamie Oliver for getting rid of like nice school dinners. You know what I mean? I would just
betray the children. Yeah.
I'd be a scumbag if I didn't pick Chandler. The thing that worries about this fight is that, yeah, I do think Gaethje's got the edge in cardio. Because Chandler has been known to fade a little bit in fights.
Go for the finish.
But the thing that's making, I've seen like all the breakdowns that I've seen, people going, Gaethje's a better wrestler and striker. Where have we got this that Gaethje's a good wrestler? Because when I saw him,
he's only wrestled once in one fight. There's only been a takedown in one fight. It's when he got absolutely battered.
Yeah, this is what I don't get. Like, all this, he's Division A, Division One wrestler, man. So is Chandler. Chandler's wrestled at the same level as Gaethje, if not higher.
And he uses his wrestling.
I think he might just take Gaethje down and punch his head in. After how easily, I'm not saying that Khabib's the same level grappler as Chandler. Obviously, Khabib's a higher level grappler than pretty much everyone. But I saw Khabib just shoot a basic double, take him down, pass his guard, get to that mount.
I mean, I'd argue that Chandler may have a better double leg than Khabib.
Yeah, a power double, definitely.
Yeah, in the centre of the cage, not against the cage.
Yeah.
Then against the wall, and as soon as you've got a single leg, I'd give the massive edge, I'd give the edge to Khabib.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think from a standing position, a double leg in the middle of the cage, I'd probably side with Chandler.
Yeah, same. And you saw how effortlessly Khabib just shot a double on him, took him down. Instantly passed his... I'm not saying, on the ground, Chandler's jiu-jitsu wizard, but, he had zero... He didn't have a guard. He just, cut through him and then subbed him with a ridiculous submission, what you do with beginners at the gym, taking a piss.
It was strange to watch.
Yeah.
But I'm just hoping he was just on a very off night.
Yeah.
And he's actually going to do
some wrestling. Well, you better hope so, because otherwise Chandler's going to fucking murk him.
I'm going to lose my 6 points as well.
But I'm going to go Chandler for 2 points.
Two. Yeah. Makes sense. Next fight. So we've got co-main event. It is the strawweight women's championship. Rose Namajunas, obviously the champion. 11-4 against Zhang Weili, ranked number 1, 21-2. So the bookies have got this as Rose is a slight favourite at -115, with Weili -105. It's neck and neck. There's no money to be made on this, really.
No.
This is obviously a rematch from April, earlier this year. Rose is currently 4-1 in the last 5, but that spans over 4 years. So she sort of fights once a year. Not too active. Before the last fight, Weili was on a 21-fight win streak. For me, I just feel like anyone can get caught with that front leg high kick. It looked like she thought it was coming to the body, caught her on the neck, and took her equilibrium away from her.
Yeah.
But I feel like Weili's going to come in with a better game plan this time. I think she's going to be lighter on her feet. I think she's going to be harder to hit. And I think she's going to hit harder than Rose.
Mm.
I could see Weili battering Rose in this one.
You think?
Over 5 rounds.
Weili's a dog, and she's got that dog in her, hasn't she? She's...
I think she could just size and strength and power just batter her over 5 rounds. Maybe finish her late. I want Rose to win. I don't know. Do I? I don't know. I'm sort of a fan, but I think Weili's got much more to offer than she showed us in his last fight.
Yeah.
I think Weili's about to win this belt back and go on a tear. I'm going to go 3 prediction points on Weili.
Yeah. I can see your reasoning, because I was thinking that. I think if Weili turns it into a scrap, she's a harder hitter, definitely. She's got more tenacity.
Yeah.
And she just she's more like a scrappy person, isn't she? But, and not to mention she's changed camps. She's been working with Cejudo a lot. Have you seen that?
I didn't see that, no.
Yeah, so she's moved camps to Cejudo and the other, that little dweeb that's his coach with the glasses.
I know what you mean, yeah.
He wears goggles like Edgar Davids.
Looks like one of them troll dolls.
Yeah. Remember Edgar Davids, the footballer, used to wear goggles? He wears them goggles, but just walk around in.
Sue only hangs around with him because he's actually slightly taller than him.
Yeah. But yeah, so I was thinking, wow, are they planning to wrestle? Like, what's going on here? Because I don't think they want anything to do with... Rose has got fantastic jiu-jitsu.
I know, yeah.
So I don't quite understand. Maybe just wanted to mix things up, but who knows? But no, I'm thinking Rose edges it. I think, like you say, I think Zhang is a more tenacious striker. She probably hits harder, a bit more scrappy. But in terms of like technical striking, I think Rose is super technical.
Yeah.
And I'm just very high on Trevor Whitman right now. I know I went against this guy against Gaethje, but I had to because I'm Michael Chandler fanboy.
Yeah.
But I think what Trevor Whitman's doing with his guys and girls right now, striking wise, like, they're just improving every single fight and they're just so, so technical. He's got such an eye for striking. I think Rose pieces her up.
Yeah.
And takes the decision. I'm going to have 4 points on Rose.
Four on Rose. We're going on a lot of different ways here. So, main event. It's the champion. I think he's pound for pound number one as well at the minute.
Yeah, he's right as so.
Yeah. Kamaru Usman, 19-1 against Colby Covington, 16-2. So, the bookies, you've already mentioned it, but the bookies have got Usman as a -305 favourite.
So, for English guys, I bet. He's 1-3 odds on.
Ridiculous. Covington +240. Which is crazy after watching their first fight and going with those odds. But the first fight was... Would you say it was stopped early?
I don't think it was stopped early. It's irrelevant because he would definitely have lost that round anyway, so he would have lost the fight.
How far into the round was it stopped?
I think it was like 1:40 left or something and he was getting battered, wasn't it?
I think one of the judges added him up 3-1, didn't he, going into the fifth?
Yeah, but the other it was 2-2 on the other judges and 3-1 Usman on the other.
Yeah.
So, like, no one would give that last round to him.
Yeah, no, I agree.
So, do you know what I mean? Even if he survived, he's probably not going to win, is he?
There's rumours of a broken jaw. He's denying it. He's saying he wasn't.
Mid-fight that he's broken jaw.
Yeah, the X-ray apparently was photoshopped. I don't know how true that is. Usman's last five fights were all title fights. Getting 3 KOs and 2 unanimous decisions. And he hasn't lost since 2013.
He's a monster.
Just insane.
He is a pound for pound number one right now.
In my head, in my pro wrestling brain, part of me wants to see Covington pull this off, throw on that MAGA hat, cut an insane promo, and then fight Masvidal.
Yeah.
But logic is going to go with Usman. I think Usman probably puts him away earlier than the fifth. Maybe in the third or fourth. I'm going to go Kamaru Usman, 7 prediction points.
I was tempted to do the same, you know. But then, when I first wrote my list, I had Usman 7 points. And then I started thinking about that last fight. And I was thinking, like, what am I doing? Like, this, I can understand the reason because under Trevor Whitman, that first fight was under Henry Hooft, right? Since he's moved Trevor Whitman, his striking is so much better.
I think his striking is better and his belief. In his striking, he knows now he's knockout.
But the ace that we haven't seen is how much better has Covington got? Because he reckons that he's been working a lot at this new gym at Masters, and they've got his timing better. And
he's just hunkered down as well. No promos, no interviews. He's just disappeared.
He's been in hyperbolic time chamber, just chaining in a way. He's gonna come out Super Saiyan 2, Colby. He's gonna like, do you know what I mean? Come out to the Kurt Angle theme song again, like just like. And the whole of the redneck America is going to unite behind him. I'm still edging towards Usman, but I'm going to go Usman 5 points. But I don't know. I think it'd be pretty insane, and I quite enjoy it if Covington won. Not that I like his character. I think it's despicable, the character that he plays. But I just think from the like pro wrestling silly, like love the cinematics of it. I just think it'd be fucking hilarious.
It'd be amazing.
There'd be so many people getting triggered. Like,
that'd be great.
But no, I could see Usman finishing him. But like I said, it's an unknown quantity. Has Covington like made them adjustments?
That's why I'm all of a sudden excited to watch it now. I wasn't bothered about the rematch because I feel like I'd already seen it. But I feel like some things are different this time. And again, Colby's in a do or die situation, whereas Usman's sort of fat and rich and happy now. Obviously not physically fat, but has he lost a bit of that?
Yeah.
I mean, his last couple of fights say no. If anything, he's even better. But it'll be interesting. Obviously, if Covington loses, God knows where he goes from here. But yeah, so that'll do us then. Obviously, if you're listening to this, you already know where to find us anyway, but obviously, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, yep, all that good stuff. Anything else you can think of?
Nothing else. Other than I was just going to mention, and we haven't brought it up, the anti-Adesanya, the guy that sparked Adesanya out.
Yeah.
He's fighting on this card.
Is he?
Yeah.
Undercard.
Alex Pereira. He's on the undercard. He's fighting Michaelis or something. He's a heavy favourite, but just something to watch for, guys. This is a guy that, Alex Pereira, Brazilian guy, he actually beat Adesanya twice.
In kickboxing?
In kickboxing, not in MMA. He's the only guy to ever knock Adesanya out, I believe.
Possibly, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. worth a watch.
It'd be interesting to see where his grappling's at. Obviously, if they have had a rematch, I wouldn't assume Adesanya would try and grapple him anyway. But he's got a lot of work to do to get that rematch.
Yeah.
Adesanya's cleared a lot of ground since then. But yeah, that's a good one, actually. Yeah, that should be on the undercard. We'll check that out. So as always, I've already done that bit. So thank you for listening.
We're very, very tired, guys. This is very, very late.
Oh, it's late on.
You had a long, long week.
It's late on. Yeah.